It's time for Pearls and Swine, and I'm Pastor Nate. I'm here with Pastor Travis, Pastor Levi from Evangel. We were talking through just some things. We've had some busy weeks of late, and we figured we should talk about courage, because our time frame to follow after Jesus takes some courage. Levi, what's a biblical definition of courage?
Well, I think courage, when we think of courage, naturally we think of the ability to do something that frightens us. Biblical courage, if you were to define it, would be that your willingness to say and do the right thing regardless of the earthly cost, is how I would define that idea of courage.
I totally agree with you. Courage, to me, is sometimes stepping out in faith. It's following God. God's going to call you into some places that maybe your mind is saying, no, I can't do that. I shouldn't go there. And it takes faith to step out in courage. I think of Peter being called out on the water. Like, he had to have some courage and some faith that Jesus was the one that he should trust and that things were going to be okay. There's a very different mindset, I would think, that courage and or that culture and society has on what courage looks like. You take the business world. I was just reading an article in Forbes about all these great leaders and CEOs, and the article talked about how courage isn't this thing that you can really be trained to do, but it's really a willingness to take a risk. And I thought that was interesting because they had a bunch of examples of these CEOs that took chances. One was when Ford was facing bankruptcy, they did some things, their CEO did. The guy that took over for Pepsi did some things, and now they're outpacing Coca-Cola by like 11% over the last few years.
That is not true. Who likes Pepsi? Good golly.
I love Pepsi. Pepsi's awesome.
Yeah, you're like a 65-year-old man, though. That's why you like Pepsi.
Well, you're a junior hire, so we
that's
have to
true.
Like
that's true.
Balance it out anyway.
Coke is where it's at. We know Nancy knows about your struggles with Coke, Nate, so.
Well, thanks for putting that on air. So, you know, when I was thinking about courage, a couple things came to mind. You know, faith's play into courage, I think of this idea that through faith we can actually have the courage to overcome the fear of death. That personally has been a struggle that I dealt with, having a fear with death and coming to a point of faith where I realize, you know, God, I trust you with my life and the freedom that provides. But it doesn't mean that God will always rescue us in situations. And I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and that's one of the ones I'd love to go back to in this idea of courage. Because here's these three young adults, maybe teenagers still, and they're in the court of a foreign king who has conquered their home, and they stand up to him and say, no, we're not going to do this thing that you've asked us to do, and we know you can take our lives, and we know God might not come through for us, but we're going to obey God, and we're going to do what's right, and you can do what you want, king. And I think that is like the essence of courage, right? We're just like, we don't know what the result's going to be, but we're going to trust in God and follow him.
Yeah, it was a huge earthly cost, right? Their lives.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great story where they talk about, like, even if God doesn't rescue us, we're still going to do the right thing. And that is always the essence of biblical courage, is doing the right thing. It's not relying on our human behavior, human skills. It's really going, God, you're in this, and I'm walking with you in this. And I like, one of my favorite stories is Joshua and Caleb, and they're sent out to spy out the promised land that God had already promised them. And they come back, and there's 12 spies that were sent out. They're the two that come back and like, we got this. Even though there were giants, there were just like, it did not seem like that they could actually do this. They said, hey, we got this. Let's go in this direction. And if you know the kind of the biblical narrative, what happens in the story is there's 10 other spies who say no, and it riles all the other people up and say they're not going to go. And that's really why they had to run around for 40 years in the desert till God got them to this place where they had courage to go in. And you see them then going in They leave this city called Shittim, and they leave and they go, and God opens up the waters again, and they walk across, and they go right to the Battle of Jericho.
That's what I think the courage component is so interesting, because biblical courage and even just worldly courage, as I was reading through that article, it's risky. There's some risk involved because there's some uncertainty on the other side of that thing. And one of the biggest risks, I think, whether it's biblical or world or personal, is there's a chance to fail.
Yeah, and if you don't have some fear, right, you probably haven't really analyzed the situation very well. And so courage isn't necessarily the absence of fear, but it's maybe a dependence, or in the biblical sense, a dependence on God over top of that fear, or just a recognition that in the end, everything will be okay.
It's having faith and trust in the face of fear.
Yeah.
And we see that play out over and over again in the biblical narrative. One of the stories that I like is when Joshua is being called up and Moses is like, you're going to be the guy. And Deuteronomy 31:6 was the verse that came to mind. And Moses is talking to God. And you know, God's telling them, the Lord's saying, we're going to deliver you. The people are going to be delivered, but it's not going to be you, Moses. It's going to be Joshua. And Moses is kind of giving his pep talk then from this conversation that he had with God. And he's like, no, you need to be strong and courageous. You don't need to be afraid or terrified because of them. The Lord your God goes with you, and he will never leave you or forsake you. And that's one of those things that in my life, when I face those trials or those things where I know in my heart that God's like, you need to do this. You need to step out on the water. You need to trust me. You need to have faith in where my hand is leading and guiding you and calling you to go and to do that right thing. But the head and the heart, there's that disconnect in there, right? There's how do you overcome that when your head's like, yeah, I should do this, or your heart's saying, God's really calling me to do this, but your head's like, there are problems here. There are chances to fail. There are things to overcome that are bigger than yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the whole practical sense of this is I think very important in our discussion here, because it should be for those who follow after Jesus, when we're faced with the right thing, there shouldn't be any more discussion, right? If we're afraid, but we know the right thing, it's going to cost us, we do the right thing. That shouldn't be an issue as far as courage is concerned. In the other thought, kind of what you're getting at, Trav, is this idea, well, maybe I see a need, but it's not about right or wrong. And I see maybe an avenue in which I can address this, but it's going to take too much time that I really want to put in. It's going to take away some of my comfort, some of my resources and that kind of thing. And I don't know if I really need to do that for my own personal benefit. But if I did that, maybe things would be wonderful. It would take care of this problem or something along those lines. And that's kind of a more nuanced place of courage in our lives, where maybe God is calling us out of a career that we're so used to and that's provided for our family well and that kind of thing, to do something different, maybe not ministry per se, but to do something different where we need to have courage to try that new thing, right? Or it could be something along the lines of an entrepreneurial type thing. You're used to having things a certain way, but you have this idea that could be really beneficial for society and beneficial financially, but it's going to cost time and money and effort and all that stuff. And where do we take courage in those situations in a very practical way? And I think part of it is this idea of going to God. But
yeah, as we've kind of traversed through this land of buying Shopko, there's been moments, I think, where we went, we are absolutely insane to do this. We got our building here all paid off. The thing's filled up. We got people coming in. There's no reason in the sense of, if you just go purely business, like we had enough money coming in, everything was good church-wise, but really felt like God was telling, and I love our board for this, really, they sensed this too, that God was not an audible voice, but just saying, hey, you guys need to take this step. You need to step out in this because you don't have room for any more people to come in. There's a lot of great churches in our area, but really felt like God was saying, you guys can, you can impact the community for Jesus if you'll take this step. But it doesn't mean that it's not scary and it's not, it's not a big step as a church, because there's a lot of money exchanging hands. As we speak right now, we're about to close on this building and we're excited about that, but there's some fear that goes into that. We were up there walking through Shopko and we had one of our pastor buddies was with us, and I him and I were walking just a little bit in front of everyone else, and he goes, "Hey, are you guys just," he looks at me and goes, "Are you guys just stoked for this big, huge place? This is really cool. This is going to be awesome." I honestly answered him, yeah, we are, but I'm a little scared too. And he looked at me in that moment and he said something very, I think, profound. He's like, "Why are you scared?" And I'm like, "Well, it's a lot of money. It's a lot of space. We have to deliver on this." And he said, "Well, remember, it's not you doing it. This is God doing it. And if he's with you," and I think that's the biblical principle. If God is with you in this thing, discerning that is the hard part. Is God with you? And I think the passage that you're talking about in Deuteronomy really says that. It says, you know, be courageous. And then it says, don't be afraid, because God is with you. And that's the kicker in this thing. Is God with you? Not all of our decisions, God is with us in that. And so how do you discern that? What does it look like for us to go, is God really actually in this? Mm-hmm. And I think there's some principles that you can. One is seeking wise counsel. The Bible talks about that over and over and over again. Another one would be not just seek wise counsel, but to spend some time in prayer. Is God really calling you into this? If it's against what the scripture says, he is not calling you. He's not calling you to divorce your wife or divorce your husband because they're putts. He's not calling you into that. And it's not a courageous step to step out of what the scriptures say in that. Those are some things that we have to, is God with us in this? And that's really hard to discern sometimes.
Well, and I think one of the ways in which we reached that decision was, you know, what is God's heart? Mm-hmm. God's heart is to reach our community.
Yep.
Can we as a church still do that effectively and well where we're at? And we reached the point of, well, no, we need more space. Right? And I think if we're in a situation where we're trying to figure out, okay, God, what's the next step for us? Is this the direction that I need to go? Going back to, is this something that really is a part of what God desires? I mean, God loves people. We know that, right?
Yeah.
Jesus came because God loves people. And Jesus died.
I think this is where people
get... Because God loves people.
Yeah, people get messed up on this because they think that Jesus came to condemn the world, but the scriptures say something absolutely different than that. It actually says he came to save the world.
Yeah.
And so at Evangel, we talk about sin, but we're not trying to condemn people. We want what the Father's heart is, and that is for no one to perish, but all to come to repentance because of who Jesus is. It's the greatest news ever that has ever been given to humanity, that God worked his way to us rather than us having to work our way to him.
Yeah. And so if you see that, if you see this as an opportunity to further God's mission, then like you need to take a serious look at that, right? Mm-hmm. You need to sometimes set aside all of the struggles and the suffering, the sacrifice that might need to happen, and just look at God. If this is something that's really something you love, then I should really pursue it.
Yeah, and I what really resonates with me is that idea that God is with you in these things. It reminded me of a story of my daughter when she got in a little bit of an accident, had a nice slice above her eye on her eyebrow, and it needed a few stitches. And she was so nervous to go to the doctor, and my wife was busy with the other little boys, and I had to go there by myself with her, with my daughter. And she did fine. I mean, she got the stitches, they numbed her up good, had her all set up. And when we left, like, I was able to just hold her hand through that. And she's like, "Dad, I'm just so glad that you were with me, because it just made me feel comfortable. You were able to ask the questions for me that, you know," she was a little bit bashful and stuff of talking to the doctors, because it's intimidating. And so to see that she had courage just because I was there with her, I didn't know what the heck I was doing. But that just resonates with me so much, that we're like my daughter with God. God saying, "It's going to be okay. You need to have courage. I'm with you. I'm taking you through this. It's going to be fine." Whether you flourish or fail, if God's with you in that, you're going to come out better on the other end. He's got his purpose for you,
yep.
And it's going to be fine. But it's hard for us to recognize that. And some of the failure lessons that I've learned in my life have been the most impactful, influential, character-building moments that we've had. And I think as we walk through this as a church, we're nervous, we're scared, but we continue to see God's faithfulness and his hand at work, we're going to be okay.
Yeah.
And it's not for our sake, but it's for the glory of him, for lifting the name of Jesus high and sharing that with our community at large.
Yeah, one of the other stories that has come out of this for me is just really realizing it's not us doing this. This is an act of God if this thing kind of all comes together how we hope and dream and have been praying about. But at one point a couple of weeks ago, I thought we weren't buying Shopko. The reason was our first buyer for our current facility backed out. Well, that totally changed the deal for us. And I left the office and I didn't want you guys to see me kind of sweat pouring down my head. And I jumped in my car and, you know, we live in a fairly isolated area if you don't know that. And so I drove to Calumet and, just cruised along and, I met with a guy there. He said to me, "There's nothing you can do right now but seek God's peace." And I thought, man, that's just a profound and right what I needed at that moment. And as I was driving there, I was just praying, going, "God, what are you doing? Because this is high stakes, you know, all of those things." Again, not an audible voice, but just this impression as we've been following God. And it was like, "Levi, it's not you who's going to build the church. It's me. It's me. I got this. I'm taking care of this." And so I get back to the office and I just really felt like, okay, how do I seek after God's peace? And so I went to the scriptures and I have a Bible app. I clicked on the Bible app and I click on the Bible app and I look at the verse of the day. And the verse of the day is, it says, "Unless the Lord builds a house, you labor in vain." And I was like, "I already got this, but thank you." It was like a meme slap into my face. Just remembering that it's him who needs to be with us in these things. And, but that was just encouraging.
Yeah. So I just want to kind of make a personal note to people out there who might be struggling through something and really need some courage. We're always here, guys. If you'd like to contact us, maybe you just need prayer. You need someone to come alongside you and encourage you and lift you up during your trial. We'd be happy to do that. You can always email Travis. His email is travis@evangelhotan.org, because we know that courage is really a group thing, that we can take courage from each other. And as we see each other trusting in our Lord and trusting in our God, it gives us courage to trust him in our own lives. So want to encourage you with that and hope that you'll join us for our next discussion. Thanks so much. And this has been Pearls and Swine with the Pastors at Evangel. We'll see you later.